Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom. It's December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2015. It's 8 a.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. Continuing on today in our study in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Great Faith Hall of Fame. I want to talk today about Abel. In verse 4, the Word of God says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness, and he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." Talking about one of the first Bible characters, so to speak, to show up in the book of Genesis, the second born son of Adam and of Eve. They had two sons, Cain and Abel, that was recorded first. But the Word of God declares that Cain was the firstborn, and Eve said to Adam, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." She thought that maybe Cain was the promised Messiah. So we're going to talk more about faith today. Faith is a substance, things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently, with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their spirit. And the Word of God declares, in the old days they said, "Contend for the faith that was once given unto the saints." So we need our faith to grow. We need our faith to grow. Pray that your faith gets stronger, because in the days to come we are going to need faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we go back to Genesis chapter 4, speaking about Abel and also speaking about Cain, but our emphasis today, of course, is on the man of faith and how he acted by faith. Genesis 4:1 says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And I said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." She thought that she had got, the Messiah, the promised one. But we speak in Genesis 3:5, God declared that he would take the seed of the woman, and her heel would be put on the head of the serpent. The serpent would bruise the heel, but the heel would crush the serpent's head. Of course, this is the type of the Redeemer that has destroyed all the works of the devil. For this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Genesis 3:15 says, "And I will put enmity," or an enemy, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." But fallen man can never bring forth the promised Redeemer. The Word of God declares, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was perfect. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was God's Son, whom he sent into the world to redeem mankind, to reconcile man back to God. He's the only way back to God. One mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Everything points to Jesus Christ. From the Old Testament into the New Testament, he's revealed. It points back to the Old Testament. Every sacrifice that was given pointed to Jesus Christ. Everything that happened pointed to Jesus Christ. You can go through the Old Testament and you can read, and everything, if you let the Spirit of God lead you, you will see that everything points towards Jesus Christ. That's why there's such a battle today, a spiritual battle, to destroy his deity. Of course, that's never going to happen. Amen. The Bible says, he said, "I am that I am." He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning and the ending, I'm the first and the last, I'm the one that always was. He told the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham was, I am. So Genesis 4:2, she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel means vanity. Genesis 4:3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. You say, well, that's good. Well, we're going to find out. No, it wasn't good. Cain rebelled against the sacrificial system set by God at the fall of man. The sacrificial system for that time gave man communion with God and forgiveness of sin. Not totally. Remember, they down through the years, you know, they kept on sacrificing their farm animals, so to speak. And once a year, the Word of God declares that the priest would go behind the Holy of Holies and put animal blood on the mercy seat. And for a year, the sins were covered. But when Jesus bowed his head on the day that he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. In other words, I have satisfied the holy demands of the law. I've done that which man could not do. The Word of God declares that the veil was ripped from top to bottom, which giving us access to the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus Christ and only through his blood. History declares that Adam even offered animal sacrifices for a while. God gave that example when Adam and Eve fell. The Bible says he slew an animal and he covered them with skins. Genesis 3:21, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them, he covered them, he kept them. See, it's God's original plan to have communion with man. See, it's not God's will that we are out of fellowship with him. It's by choice, it's by sin, it's by getting over to, in these days, doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. It's by preaching other things other than the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Cain wanted God to accept the labor of his hands. And we have a contrast here between a religious man and a man of faith. Cain being the religious man. Cain doing things set up by himself, his own strength, his own power. We are saved by grace. We are saved by grace and not by works. I know James says without works, faith is dead. Yes, because when we have faith, then we will carry out our faith and the works will come. But those works will not save us. It's the grace of God. It's faith in Jesus Christ and in him crucified. Genesis 4:4, the Word of God declares, now speaking of Abel, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Why? Because it was a faith offering. This is why Abel is in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Abel brought what God demands, a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and also of an innocent victim. The Bible declares there was no guile found in the mouth of Jesus Christ. In other words, there was no deceit. Heaven's perfect lamb. Heaven's perfect lamb God provided. Abel saw the need for a redeemer. He saw even back in Genesis that mankind needed to be redeemed. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man cannot save himself. Man cannot build his towers or his ivory towers and expect those things to sustain him. That's why the Bible says the man in the New Testament laid down and said, man, I built all these barns and I built this up. And he said, I'm going to take ease of my soul. I'll probably tear these down and build more. Look what I have done. And the Word of God declares and spoke to him and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. See, we have on the inside of us an eternal being, that which lives forever, that which God knows exactly what's going on. And it's God's purpose by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, that we are redeemed and saved from a devil's hell. This is the plan of salvation, but we do nothing to earn it. This is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Abel pleased God. Why? Because he had faith. He saw the need for a redeemer. And he saw even the one that was coming, which was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his offering was a type of Jesus Christ. And God accepted the slain lamb, and he rejected the offered fruit or the works. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission of sin." Almost all things, some things were purged with water, but almost all things without the shedding of blood, without blood being applied to man's sins, then man's sins continue to dominate him and control him. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. The blood of Jesus is even now washing us of our sins. Sins cannot stand in the presence of an almighty God. Sins cannot stand in the presence of the sacrificed Lamb of God or the Son of God. Because his blood is all-powerful. It reaches to the highest mountain. It goes to the lowest valleys. There cannot be any salvation without the shedding of blood. God declared in the Old Testament, he said that the life is in the blood. He said, "And I put that blood upon the altar for an atonement for your sins." So we receive that today by faith. We can't, when I was young and growing up, when they had the spring revivals and the fall revivals, I can remember them singing this song, "Just as I am," without one plea. Just as we are. There's nothing we can do to clean ourselves up. We don't have the capacity or the strength to clean ourselves up. The only thing we can do is yield under the mighty hand of an almighty God. And he said, "In due time, you shall be exalted." And exaltation comes by accepting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, changing our lives by the blood of the Lamb. Genesis 4:5 says, "But unto Cain and his offerings he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell," become angry, became mad. He was his own man, I guess, so to speak. The Word of God declares that God did reject Cain's offering. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul gives a statement here that points to, you know why Cain was doing his own works. But Paul, if you know anything about Paul at all, you know he was a smart man. You know, he was very, very intelligent. He was taught by the greatest rabbis. But when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, it changed his life, and he realized it was all about Jesus Christ and it was all about him crucified. He said, "But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Not everybody receives it. Man is always going about to establish his own righteousness. There's cathedrals in this world, in this nation in which we live, that are constructed under the premises of man and who they are and what they are and their own laws and bylaws, going about to establish their own righteousness. And men follow men rather than follow Christ. And that's like the blind leading the blind. That's just truth. And they all will fall in the ditch. If a church is not founded upon Jesus Christ and him crucified, that church will flounder. That might not flounder in this world. It might even grow. Because, you know, it's a broad path. It's a broad path. Only Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." John the Baptist said, "I must decrease and he must increase." He said, "I am not pointing towards myself. I am pointing towards," as he said, as Jesus walked down to get baptized, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away," not covers, "takes away the sins of the world." My sin, your sin. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's nothing. It's nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Genesis 4:6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Why was Cain wroth? Why was he mad? Abel's altar spoke of repentance, of the need for a redeemer, the need for something greater than ourselves to lean upon. The Bible says that man's days are short and full of trouble. The Bible declares and compares us to a fading a blade of grass, a leaf that blows off a tree in the fall of the year. We cannot sustain ourselves or keep ourselves or save ourselves. See, this doesn't go well with those that are puffed up with pride, because they think, I can do this. I've done this. I. And the Bible says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we have our strength. Our strength is not confident to heal us, deliver us, save us. We must look unto the author and the finisher of our faith, and that is still Jesus Christ. Abel's altar spoke of repentance. It spoke of faith. And it speaks of the blood of Jesus Christ. Cain's altar spoke of pride, unbelief, self-righteousness, which in Cain's case, and probably in every case, it brought anger, frustration with not being able to control our own destiny. Now, listen, we make choices every day. We choose to serve God. Every day that our feet hit the floor and God gives us grace and strength to get out of bed, we make a choice. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And our choice every day needs to be the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no way to God. There is no way to heaven except it be through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can redeem mankind's soul. I don't care what other God people preach, what other God they follow. Whether they are polytheistic, they believe in many, many gods, and there are religions that do. The Hindus believe in many, many, many gods. But if you know Jesus Christ, we are monotheistic. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. No, they're not the same, yet they are the same. Listen, this is a mystery, and that's a sticking point. You know, a lot of people argue over over things today that we don't know anything about, that God has not revealed to us yet. Let's stick with what was revealed to us. The Old Testament states that the secret things are God's. The secret things are God's. So let's walk in the light as we have the light. And the light that we have today is Jesus Christ as Lord, that he purchased our salvation. The story goes back to Abraham taking Isaac to the mountain. God spoke to him to sacrifice his only son. It's a type. And he laid him on the altar. If you read it at all, I'm sure you know what's going on. And Abraham raised the knife and did not want to, but was going to kill his son, Isaac. And the word of God declares, the angel of the Lord said, stop, stop. You've done that which God the Father told you to do. He sees your willingness. And the word of God declares, he turned in the thicket was a ram. God provided a lamb. He provided the sacrifice. And he named the place Jehovah Jireh, for God will provide. God will provide. Bible says he'll provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and of all this righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto you. It's God's good pleasure to give gifts to his children, the word of God declares. And the greatest gift we have, we just got through celebrating Christmas, going into a new year with a lot of things going on in the world. The song says, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. And that anchor is Jesus Christ. And that anchor will hold and grip the solid rock. Look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Give completely. Let him be Lord. Let him sit on the throne of your heart. Let him sit on the throne of your heart. Glory to God. Know him. Know him. Not just through a Sunday school book. Not just through a preacher or a church or a denomination. But know him personally. The Bible says, seek out your own salvation with trembling and with fear. The day we saw the faith of Abel, that he offered the right sacrifice, which is completely surrendering everything to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Realizing that he needed a Redeemer, that the works of his hands would not do it. Yes, he worked to take care of the sheep or the cows and his animals. Yes, he did. But that blood, he didn't make the blood. But he sacrificed the blood. And that blood is for the remission of sins. Lord of God declared, Jesus said, he said, you can destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up again. He said, I'm more than able and capable to raise myself up again after the third day. And the Bible says the quickening power, the Spirit of Almighty God brought Jesus Christ out of the grave. And the Word of God says that same power dwells in us today, in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't know him today, if you want him to build your faith, contend for the faith once given unto the saints, just ask him. Ask him. You don't have to speak in King James English. Just ask him with your own words. Say, Lord, I need you today. Lord, I believe, but help me my unbelief. Help me my unbelief. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, then know him. Call on his name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and shall be set free. This is what the Word of God says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word will never ever pass away. He sent his word and he healed them. Call on him today. Let him know where you're at. He knows already, but the Word of God says even before you ask, God knows. Call on him. Ask him. Ask him into your heart. Ask him into your life. Ask him to take charge of your life. Ask him to be Lord of your life. Let him be Lord. One of the hardest things to do is surrender everything. But ask him to give you the grace to do it. Call on his name today. If you believe God raised Jesus Christ from the grave, then call on him today. If you need healing in your body today, know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bore stripes on his back that you might be healed. There's nothing impossible with God. And through faith, anything can be accomplished. Even if you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, the Word of God declares you can speak to mountains and they shall be removed. But ask the Lord to build, ask the Lord to give you the gift of faith, that in spite of all circumstances and all situations, that you believe there's nothing too big for God. For many, many say we need to start quit telling people how big our problem is and start telling people how big our God is. God's big, ask big. Amen. Ask him. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered and shall be set free. Father, I thank you for your word today. I just pray in Jesus' name today, Lord, you'd move in a mighty way and touch minds, bodies, souls, spirits. Lord, you said your word will not return void, but it will come back to you doing that which you sent it to do. And there's nothing more important than your word today. There's nothing more important than the salvation that Jesus Christ provides. Lord, you said in your word, well, if a man gain the whole world, will lose his soul. Oh God, let us guard our souls. Let us guard our hearts today. Let us strip for the race, Lord. Let us lay aside every weight that so easily beset us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Till next time, God bless you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. The Word of God declares, look up for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you.
And the meek shall